podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Touch back from Arfield. What a volley! Scott Arfield! He's been threatening that recently. And all the Burnley players run to the Darwin end. Oh, what a goal! What a goal from Robbie Blake! Burnley's first goal in the Premier League is something very, very special.
Wade Elliott has that change of pace and he's got away from Montgomery. It's the path of McCann and the follow-up finds the net. What a strike from Wade Elliott. A bolt from the Clarendon Blue. Oh, goodness me! What a goal from Patterson! If that is to be the one that takes them to Wembley, you cannot argue with that. Pure quality.
Here goes Mike Conroy. Still time for a winner, maybe. John Francis! They came to York in their thousands. They're going home as champions.
I mean, if there's any justice in the world, Burnley would surely score from this corner. Swung right in there. Ball in there. Yes! Michael Keane! Oh, that's justice! That is justice at the Amex Stadium! Burnley a level and deserve to be!
Hello everyone and welcome along to the latest instalment of the Turfcast podcast full-time show with me, Joe Redmond. And we do have a guest, it's Neil. You've seen him loads of times if you are a regular to the show. He will be coming in soon. Get your comments in. I want to know your thoughts on the match as well. Just before we do bring Neil in, I'll give my thoughts on the game. Hopefully read some comments out. Bring Mr. Layfield in. Everybody loves him. We'll get him in and he can give his thoughts. And we'll have a chat like we always do. We'll have a chat. But yeah, good to see you all. Like I said, get your comments in. Sorry I'm 11 minutes late. I was making a brew. It takes a bit longer than I thought it would do sometimes. And it looks a bit weak as well, to be fair, on camera. It's not that bad. But anyway, yesterday, what was it? 92nd minute winner, something like that. It was a winner in injury time. Fun fact, that's the first injury time winner that Burnley have scored in the league since November 2016. And we'll start the stream off just by asking if anybody can tell me which game that was in. I'll give you a couple of clues. It was at home and it was Ashley Barnes who scored in the 94th minute. But yesterday was the first time that we have done that since 2016. So that's just under 6 years. Now, we've had a few injury time winners where we've already been winning. But that was the last one to... injury time goals where we've already been winning. But that was the last actual injury... the first actual injury time winner since that time. But yeah, got a few regular names in the chat. It's good to see Simon Marus in there. He says, up the Clarets. Benson, change the game up. You're well, buddy. Scott Hardacre says, getting ready to go out of living Halifax. All my mates in the pub will be happy today as well. Halifax, Huddersfield, Leeds, all won. We'll play Rotherham on Tuesday. Who did the double honours in 92? Fun fact there again for you. Keep them all coming in. Mark Howarth says, remembered this week, watching yesterday's F1 qualifying at the same time. It's good to see Mark in the chat. Mark was one of the ones, similar to Neil and Simon Marus, really, that were here from the start. So it's good to see that you remembered this week, mate. But I don't know if you're aware of who qualifies on pole position, but I think you can guess. I'm not going to ruin it for you, just in case. Jake Mayer says, really hitting our stride before the derby. Yeah. I mean, problem is that they've hit their stride as well, haven't they? It's going to be really a good game, that one, for the first time for a while. Raj Sharma says, about time we had some luck go our way, especially getting a last-minute goal go our way. Yeah. Yeah, Jake Mayer, from the question that I just asked, Palace. I mean, he's out there on Twitter because everybody's got it right. Shout out to Jake, who got it right, Harry, who got it right, Jamie, who got it right, Mark, who got it right, Scott got it right, Paul, who got it right, and not Simon Emerson. We'll bring that comment in a minute. And it's not cheating. I don't know what that dodgy picture that you've got on your phone. It's a weird picture, that, mate. But yeah, it was Palace. Ashley Barnes in the 94th minute. I stole it off Dave Roberts, not going to lie. So you've probably all seen it there as well, unless you are just intelligent lads and lasses, because I definitely am not. Simon Edmondson says, deserved the win. Bit disjointed in the first half, but Benson added that spark as he did against Sunderland. Good result without Cork and Cullen. Yeah, just give my thoughts on the game then. I was a little bit apprehensive before the game because Cork was out. Obviously, Cullen was out as well. So I was panicking a little bit because they're so big for us, and Cork obviously breaks the player down. Cullen's got brilliant distribution, and I feel like we missed it yesterday. Even in the second half, thought our passing wasn't great. I know a lot of people have been singing Bastian's praises on Twitter, and don't get me wrong, he came in and he did well. But you could tell he's not up to like the standard of Cullen with his distribution, because there were some times where he just gave the ball away a little bit. But you know, I think he's only young, isn't he? He's going to get better. He's not played that much this season, so I was quietly impressed with him. I just think you could just tell that Cullen probably was the reason why we were so poor passing yesterday. A lot of people were criticising Reading's tactics on Twitter, saying, oh, it's really difficult to play against a team like this. And don't get me wrong, I agree with that to a certain extent. I don't really feel like we can complain about it, though, when we've done that for the last 9 years. But hey-ho. So I'm not really going to complain about it too much. But I don't feel like that's why we were poor yesterday, because they were sitting back and parking the bus. If we had better passing, in my opinion, we would have been a bit better and played better, obviously, because I think that's what was missing yesterday. Just the passing, and Cork and Cullen holding that role would have helped us out. Getting a couple more comments coming. I'll just read these out before I bring Neil in. Jennifer, I think you're caps lock stuck on Jennifer, unless you're shouting at me. Says Blackburn is the biggest game of the season so far for so many reasons. Yeah, I mean, it probably would have been anyway, but it's absolutely massive now with us top and them second. It's not cheating, said. Surprised with Tom in, still a player. Thought he was done, caused a few problems. Yeah, decent finish as well. A few people give him Murich some stick for that, but don't really know what more he could have done, to be honest. He went down a little bit easily, but he's at that stage, at that point now when he gets there, he's got to go down, hasn't he? Harry says, don't feel Burnley was ever as bad as Reading, even while in the last couple of seasons while we was in the Prem. Yeah, I do agree with that, because it was a myth that we were this dirty side, wasn't it? And Reading just were pretty dirty. They should have had their keeper booked for time wasting in the first half. That's a point, actually. How had Murich got booked for time wasting when he wasn't even time wasting, and yet the Reading keeper did it all game as well? So I do agree with that slightly, but again, I don't really feel we can complain about it too much, because we've done it for so long, especially the time wasting and things like that. But in terms of the actual kicking, we never really went around kicking people like that, like they did yesterday. Jake says, Jay had a big chance in the first half. He scored that, and it's a different game because they have to open up. Yeah. And a penalty shout in the first half as well. I've not actually seen that back yet. I don't remember it off the top of my head as well at the time, thinking that we should have had a blatant penalty. But let's be honest, they should have had a penalty, shouldn't they? Actually, speaking of Jay, I won't say he was poor yesterday, because I don't really think like he had like too many chances, but I don't know, he just didn't win many headers, did he? And that's not a criticism of Jay, it's probably more of a compliment of how good they are, Reading, because they're very, very good in the air. I've been babbling for about 10 minutes. No one wants to listen to me babble on my own for about 10 minutes. So I'm going to bring Neil in. Obviously, Neil's here to help us out every now and then on the stream. How you doing, mate? You all right?
Morning, you all right, mate?
Yeah. Oh, good to see Neil's got a brew as well. I think, what's that? Espresso?
Yeah, very strong black one.
It looks strong, that. It looks strong, that. I had a coffee this morning, I thought. Yeah. I don't, if I had another coffee, I wouldn't make it through the stream without having to go to the toilet. It'd go straight through me, the second coffee. But thoughts on the game yesterday then, mate? How did you think we played?
I thought we weren't at our best in the first half. I think I agree with what you said in that. That's what we've been doing to teams a long time. But if you're playing, from Reading's point of view, if you're playing against a team who plays really good football, which we do, and Paulin's has already sort of, even though he's got a chip on his shoulder, said that we're supposedly the best team in the league. And that's how you've got to play, because you can't play football against a team that plays like that against you. And I think Norwich did it earlier in the week. It was Norwich midweek, wasn't it? I think it was Norwich did it earlier in the week, and it stifled us a little bit. But what is pleasing is that we're starting to find a way to get through that now, as late as it is. Earlier in the season, we probably would have drawn that. But companies learning, the team's learning how to play against that and actually find a way through.
Yeah, that is the thing that I'm most happy about, really. They sat back, they tried to stifle the threat, they parked the bus. The goal that they scored, by the way, let's just discuss that as well.
Great finish, you know.
Good finish. Like I said, I think it is a good finish. I don't see what more Mjolnir could have done, if I'm being honest. But it were all a bit too easy, weren't it? I watched it highlights this morning, actually, and it's quite funny because the keeper's taking ages to take the goal kick, obviously, because that's all they did all game. And we're all complaining, going, oh, come on, and Tellers at the front going like this to referee. Ariel, what's he doing? He just lumps it forward, flick, and they're in, but good finish. But all a bit too easy, weren't it? Edward Bellis gets a little bit flat-footed, and then they're in behind.
Yeah, they're just caught off guard, I think. But that comes with experience. They're a young back four, aren't they, really? So that comes with experience. That's just caught off, just caught out, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and just getting some more comments coming in. J-Rod drops so deep nowadays. Good to see Jennifer's turn the caps lock off. Yeah, he does, to be fair. I remember at one point when we were counter-attacking and he had the ball in our half, and most of the other lads were further forward. But I was only a little bit concerned. Go on, mate. What's that?
I think he looks tired. I think Jay looks tired and like he needs a couple of games rest, but we can't rest him.
No. Unless we're resting for Rotherham, but it's one of them like, where you start sort of like thinking, oh, it's only Rotherham, and then you rest too many players for it, and then end up losing what could be a very winnable game. Simon Marouse, did their keeper punch the ball in our box at the end? He tried to. I don't think he actually made contact. I might be wrong, but I said that to my dad. I'm like, did he just try and punch it then? But all a bit weird. Simon Edmondson, yeah, let's talk about Paulins, Neil. I want to know who thought it was a good idea to interview Ince in front of some of the fans left in the ground after the game. He got loads of abuse. I watched that, and of course, that's obviously the Reading Media channel, Reading Media team that's done that. So they'll have made that decision. But I reckon it were a case of Ince being fuming and just thinking, I want to get this out of the way, done now. Just do it. We'll do it here now. Some of you know, I used to work for Bradford City, so I have been in them scenarios, like in the media team, and where the manager's just fuming and they want to get it done. So I reckon that's what it were. But his comments after the game, you've already hinted at it, the supposed best team in the league and stuff. Like, it was so salty, weren't it, in that interview?
Yeah, massive chip on his shoulder. He was very wound up. You could see he was actually shaking. He was that wound up. But, you know... Yeah, it was probably a bad decision on their part to interview him that soon after the game. I mean, you know better than me. I don't know if there's like a time limit. You've got to do it or whatever. They should maybe let him calm down a little bit first. But then he's still ranting and raving in his pre-match later on, wasn't he? So,
yeah. It's one of them, isn't it? It were a blatant pen. So I can see why he's fuming. And it makes me laugh, like, I said at the time, because I thought Markson were a little bit poor yesterday. He played well going forward, but a little bit sloppy. But I felt a lot of the team was sloppy yesterday. Again, that might be Reading sitting off their tactics, but I just thought we just weren't on the ball yesterday. I know we got the winner, obviously I'm buzzing for that. But obviously Markson does well to win it, I think, in the first place. So I know it just falls to him, doesn't it? And he comes away with it. And he makes a good run. And then he just holds on for it for too long and then gets tackled. And I immediately shout, right, whatever you do, don't foul him. And then he fouls him. And I just shouted, no, you idiot. And I'm like that. And I'm just waiting for the whistle. And then he didn't blow it. And then I looked at my dad and went, that were a pen. I'd have a laugh, that were a pen. And this girl behind me was like, that, definite pen. Definite pen, weren't it?
I mean, their player was looking for it. I've seen a few people saying, oh, he's looking for it. But then it was a pen as well. So,
yeah, you can be looking for it and it still be a pen.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's probably why Paul Ince felt how he was. Because to be fair, his game plan was working. And they didn't get that, and that would have put them. Was it 1-0 at that point? I can't remember. It would have put them 1-0.
No, it was 1-1 at that point, and it was quite late. Yeah,
it would have put them in the lead, and then obviously we've won it really late. So from a manager point of view, that's probably really rattled them. So I get why he was so angry from that point of view. But these things even themselves out, and we've had some that haven't gone our way, and it'll happen again. So
yeah, Huddersfield first game at season, Barnsley should have had a pen. Exactly. What I don't get about his interview is, though, like, why does he have to dig us out? Like, why does he have to go the supposed best team in the league and all that? What's your issue there, Ince?
And he's former Rovers, isn't he?
Yeah, bastard. That's why he's done it.
That's what it is. He's trying to get on their side before the derby, I think. Well, that's all it is. He's probably just heard all the abuse and just thought, right, you're having it.
That's what I'm saying. He's just been abused for 90 minutes. Yeah. He's rattled. As you can see, he's shaking. Looks like he needs some sort of like some water to calm him down or something. But I mentioned Bastian. What did you think about Bastian's performance? Because like I said, I thought he did well. Little option. But I do feel like his passing wasn't great. And I do feel like we definitely missed Cork and Cullum. How did you feel Bastian played?
Yeah, he did. he did all right. We do miss Cork and Cullen. He's definitely second behind them. They're definitely our first choice. But I mean, he did the job. It wasn't just him at fault for our sort of sloppiness. He was part of it, but the whole team was sloppy. But yeah, he did a job. I think he'll. I would probably prefer to have Cork and Cullen in the big games. So definitely the derby and things like that. But I think he can come in and do a job. He can come in and do a job against the likes of Rotherham when Cork needs a rest and stuff like that, maybe. He just needs a bit more time to grow into it, I think.
Yeah, fair enough. Harry says, played really well without Cork and Cullen, both of them fresh for Rotherham next week now. I've just seen another comment here. There we go, from Jennifer. Bastian is sometimes too calm on the ball in quick attacks. We both thought he played well, to be fair. It's a nice option to have. Just needs to work on that passing. I have tried to load up whoscored.com to find out the official percentage of what his passes were successful. But for some reason, it's not working. So we'll just have to... That'll just have to be a mystery. Harry says, does Westy get a look in when back from injury? It's going to be tough because where's he going to fit in? I'm not sure where he's going to fit in. Again, unless he just plays in a rotation thing with Bastian part of that. Harry says, I think the lad from Brentford does look short coming off the bench. Obviously, it means Derby Soglu. He says, not even attempting to spell his name, no fair. I didn't even say it for ages because I couldn't pronounce it. Never mind spell it. So I completely get that. I just used to call him the lad from Brentford like you did. But he did play well. He looked sharp. If Cork and Cullen are out again, I'd like to see Bayer in midfield with Taylor at centre-back, says Simon Evanson. Bayer is class on the ball and great passing and brings it forward. Fun little thing. I think I'm allowed to tell you all this, but Bayer absolutely loves it here. Obviously, I know Simon, he cuts the lad's hair. He's cut Bayer's hair this week, and he was saying to Simon how much he loves it at Burnley. So he's loving life here on loan. But Neil, did you get some stats up then? Were you looking for some stats? Did it work?
Yeah, it's come up for me. It's not, it's loading very slowly. Yeah, it's not that great, but I feel like Stato on fantasy football here. You know,
I just keep getting your connection is not private. I do want to talk about some of the players that came off the bench. Obviously, let's start with the obvious one, Manuel. Played very, very well, didn't it? Absolute game changer. That's Sunderland where he's come off the bench and changed the game, and Millwall where he's come off the bench and changed the game, and yesterday come off the bench, got the goal, brilliant finish. That assist. Yeah, such a good header that was. And then the assist, he gets the ball, he takes the man on, he puts a brilliant cross into the far post that you couldn't miss. He was on an absolute player, but he was fantastic, weren't he?
Amazing, yeah. Brilliant player. Definite impact player. You start wondering if that's his role now, if he's ever going to start a game. However, you know, it's part of the tactics to bring him on, because when defenders are tired, there's nobody better to bring on than him because he's so fast and so direct that it's so effective. I mean, you said, it's three games now he's come on and completely changed it. But it's a nice little link-up he's got with Zaruri, I think. The link, it's really good. But just going back to what you said about Bayer, loving it, I get that impression from... I get the impression from all of
True. One comment he did make is he said that Turf Moor is so loud, and I was what? He actually said that, but like, compare it to when the likes of Gibson and that signed, when you know the atmosphere were a bit flat. I guess it is a lot better than what it used to be, but yeah, I do get that impression. Teller's always got a smile on his face, so Rory's clearly loving it because he's playing very well. We know Bayer is, and I noticed a little thing this morning, because obviously after the highlight, I watched the Reading highlights and I'm a bit weird. I saw Sunderland extended highlights, thought that was a good game. I watched that back, so I watched that back, and obviously when we scored the first goal, Arwood Bellis heads it over. Does it for Teller to finish it in, and when it goes in, Edward Bellis is on his own running back, like proper celebrating. It meant a lot to him, that. So I think he's quite liking it here. It's going to hurt. Sorry, what's that?
It's top down, the passion, top down from Company. He's giving it fist bumps the last three games, and it's coming top down. All of them are absolutely loving it.
Yeah, I agree. Simon Edmondson says Benson needs a song, and then Harry says, Gimme a curly-haired Belgian. His name is Manuel Benson, and he plays on the wing. That is fantastic, Harry. If you've just made that up there and then well played. If it's floating around on Twitter, then I've missed that one. But that's brilliant, that one. I really do like that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, we'll have that.
Yeah, we'll definitely have that one. Burnley till I die, says morning. Morning, mate. Hope you well. And Jennifer says, when teams just park the bus, Benson should start because he can break teams down. Yeah, but I see what Neil's saying there, and that brings it on nicely to the point that you just made, Neil. Like, is this his role now, or is he, or do we start him in some game? I think, especially when teams sit back, to be honest, Jennifer, I'd do the opposite. I'm thinking, if a team sits back, get him on, you know, without Benson's, what I'm trying to say, put Benson on the bench, start with the front three of Teller, Jay and Zaruri, let them three tire him out, and then bring Benson on. Because if they're just sitting back and there's no space to run into, I think he'll struggle. But when they're tired and it's easy for him to get in behind and make a few runs like he did yesterday and then get in behind, then I think his role now, I think he might have condemned himself to sort of like a super sub role.
Yeah, that's what I think as well. Yeah, definitely super sub. But it's effective and it's working, so why not?
Yeah, yeah. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Burnley till I die says, think he's better coming on against tiring teams. If we are playing a team that is quite open and is attacking us, then I think he might be a good one to start. I'm not sure what Rotherham play like, but I might even be tempted to start him against Rotherham. Maybe give the likes of Jay a rest or Teller a rest or somebody like that ready for, because we've got a couple of big games coming up after the Rotherham one. Sheffield United away, which is massive, and then Blackburn at home, obviously with Crawley in the cup in midweek. But if I were company, I'd literally just put the under eights out. We've got the Blackburn game like 3-4 days later, so there's no point risking anybody. Other players that came off the bench, we've mentioned Dervis Soglu. He's another one. I think he's going to be kind of like just coming off the bench, isn't he? I'd like to see more of him, but he came on in the 85th minute yesterday, did all right, didn't do anything wrong really, but played all right.
Yeah, didn't really have the time. I will say that we did score in that sort of last 10 minutes, but 85th minute, you can't really expect too much from him. But did all right. And then Egan Riley came on as well, didn't he?
Yeah, so, he came on. Is that the first time he's played?
I don't think I've seen him. Is that the first time he's played?
I think he came on against Norwich. I think he did come on against Norwich. But company has started like bringing defenders on now when we are holding on to a lead or something like that. Although he did bring Egan Riley on and go 5 at the back before we'd actually scored the goal. So he must have just known what we're coming. Yeah. I want to talk about Vitinho as well, because Simon put a comment up here. Simon Emerson, he says, Vitinho offers so much more than Roberts. And going forward, he definitely does. And he's not even bad defensively. So I don't know. But I'm singling out going forward because he goes forward with so much purpose. He's so much better than Roberts at getting on the ball and running with players. And I've noticed recently that I think Roberts has noticed Vitinho gets forward very, very well. And Roberts trying to get forward a bit better. But yeah, Vitinho, again, when he came on, he was brilliant, weren't he?
Yeah, he's good. I'd like to see him start on the wing, actually. Forget the defensive side of it and just start on the wing. Maybe Roberts and then him on the right and see how that works. Because, yeah, going forward, he's very good.
Because you mentioned that Benson and Zaruri have got a great link up. Sorry, what's that?
Yeah, so his final pass can sometimes be a little bit astray, but he's getting up there, and that's the main thing about his attacking play.
Yeah, because you mentioned Zaruri and Benson have got a brilliant link up. I do feel like the right hand side lets us down a little bit because them two are so good on the left at linking up and things like that. Whereas Roberts and Goodmanson, it were yesterday, just don't really seem to have that purpose and as good going forward. So it kind of can leave us with a little bit of imbalance. But when Vitinho comes on, we're so much better on that side as well.
Yeah, it'd be good to see, to try him on that side. Maybe do it, well, like I say, you don't want to play too many in the cup, but maybe in the cup, see how it works and things like that. But it'd be good if we get a little partnership down there. That'd be great. Because I think Roberts, for me, is a little bit better defensively minded. But definitely Vitinho going forwards. Roberts going forward is not as effective as Vitinho is. But equally, I think Roberts is better defensively.
Yeah, I probably do agree with that. But Vitinho's not bad defensively. He's not bad. Tom says, mad to think we've still got Twine to come into this team. I was just going to say, we've also got Chernyshev as well to come back from injury. Yeah, I think this is what company gets talking about, doesn't he, Neil? Excuse me, in his interviews, he keeps saying like, oh, there's still a few aces up our sleeve and stuff. And he's obviously talking about Twine, I think, anyway. And then we've still got, like Tom says, Chernyshev as well. So loads of options, isn't there, really?
There is. I mean, do we have a timescale for Twine yet? Has it actually been mentioned when he's...
No, he just keeps hinting at stuff and things like that and sort of like saying, oh, he'll be back soon. I don't know, it's annoying me a little bit because the different story. I've heard some people saying it's a hip injury, some people saying it's something else, and then I don't know. It's a little bit still all a little bit like up in the air a little bit. He's been saying he's making progress. But mate, we have got a time scale for Westie as well. He's apparently going to play in the under-21s tomorrow, I think.
All right, yeah. But,
yeah, Twine and Cherlinov, they're going to be good coming back, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. It just depends when. I mean, are we looking at after World Cup, which still sounds weird to say that, but are we looking at them coming back after the World Cup or do you think Twine's coming before the World Cup? It's be nice to have some sort of idea, wouldn't it, I guess?
Yeah, it would. But I'm very looking forward to seeing Twine play more for... play. Never mind play more. Just play. Apologies if you can hear somebody crying. Little boy's having a bath. He's not on his own before somebody rings social services. His mummy's in there. I don't know what's going on. So apologies if you can hear that in the microphone. He's picking it up. But I like to as well ask about man of the match. And I think there's only one player. Again, I say again, I didn't give it him last week against Norwich. I gave it Zorori, who did actually pick it up, and I was going to give it Zorori, but that's two games where Benson's come on. I think he did it against Norwich, didn't he, as well? I didn't mention the Norwich one, but I think he came on against Norwich and changed the game as well, and he's come on again here, so I'm going to give it to Benson. Get your comments in. Neil will give his and get your comments in, and I'll read them all out. So I'm going to give the man of the match to Benson. Neil, who are you going to give it to?
Yeah, Benson. I gave it him against Sunderland, and he's done exactly the same yesterday, so yeah, same again.
Happy days. Get your comments in, and
Does think he deserves a start. He's playing that well. He does deserve a start, but maybe he's happy doing that role. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's not cheating, says Bayer. Yeah, Bayer played well. I like what Bayer does. I think you said earlier, or someone else in the comments said you wouldn't mind seeing Bayer in the midfield. That's what I love about Bayer. He's not just good at breaking the player down and defending. He actually gets the ball and runs out with it. And same with Taylor at Edward Bellis as well. It's they're both similar sort of players, aren't they? So it's good to see. Mark Howarth says Benson can't argue with a goal and assist. Yeah. Saif Gaming says three wins in a row. Yep, three wins in a row for the Mighty Clarets. Tom Chris says Benson, but Zorori not far behind. Yeah, can't really argue with that. Zorori played well again, didn't he, Neil? I tell you what, he's absolutely... I love him, me. I think he's my favourite player. It was Teller earlier in the season.
Don't fall in love with a long player.
Exactly. Yeah. So Teller, I'm not going to let you break my heart. I'm distancing myself from you and falling in love with Zorori. But he's class, isn't he? He's a brilliant find.
Brilliant. Yeah. Hats off to... I'm guessing it's company who identified him because we got him quite early, but hats off to whoever discovered him. Because, some player.
Yeah, it's Scott says Zorori for me. Benson made a big impact on the game, as usual, but Zorori is different. And then Harry says Zorori, just to say someone different. Well, a lot of people have gone with Zorori there, Harry. So if you want, you might want to change that if you want to go someone different. Maybe Muric, if you want to be different, because he didn't really have too much to do. Although he did make I was watching the highlights early, and he did make a save, a couple of saves. And he had a header late on, didn't they? But it kind of just... we're a bit tame, to be fair, and you'd expect him to make it. But I know we've mentioned the penalty, and it's a definite penalty. I'm not going to argue with that. Any Reading fans watching, I don't think there is, else because they've not mentioned, no one's chirped up in the comments. But that official, he was terrible, weren't he? He was absolutely god-awful. Yeah.
Shocking. There's been a few. I thought they were bad in the Premier League, but then you think the EFL get the ones who are bad in the Premier League, don't they? So it's, it wasn't brilliant, to be fair, but... You try not to be too critical because we've come out the right side of it, haven't we?
Yeah, we have, but it's one of them, like, it does even itself out, and I get that, and people will always say that, and I do agree with that. I do think it evens itself out. We should have had one earlier in the season at Huddersfield that we didn't get. Some people are saying that we should have had one yesterday. I honestly don't remember it. I don't remember screaming for a penalty yesterday. I've watched the highlights back, and I haven't seen it. Jake says, man of the match, company for me. 1-0, he makes the right changes and we win the game because of it. I don't panic when going behind because of company. And company is making the right subs. That is one thing I will say about company. He does make the right subs, and that was my biggest criticism of Dyche. I think company is better with his subs than what Dyche was. But in fairness, we have a lot of squad depth at the minute that we didn't really have for so long with Dyche. But I don't necessarily think that's... And what I'm trying to say is company's doing very well there to identify the right players to bring them on. And he's done well to bring these players in as well. So it's not just him making the right subs. He's identified these players. He's convinced these players to come. And he's set us up with this brilliant squad depth. So, we've got so much depth, haven't we? When company looks back on the bench, he must be rubbing his hands.
Did you see the team photo earlier in the week? It's massive.
Yeah, I did do, yeah. Squad's massive. Yeah, massive. What annoys me about these team photos? Remember team photos? They used to be out at the start of the season. Before the season started, the team photo would be out. They don't bring them out now till 9 on November. What's all that about?
I know. They don't do them in the stadium anymore. They used to do them behind. Now it's all the training ground. But yeah, the thing that's what hit me about is how massive that squad is. And it's pretty good quality as well. There's not a lot of players on there you think shouldn't be anywhere near this. It's a good quality, that. Really good.
Yeah, and even the ones that haven't really played much, like McNally, like Egan Riley, that's because they're like 19 and 20, and you know that they are going to be very good soon enough.
Yeah.
Simon Emerson says, company's ability to change a game is really refreshing. Yep, just spoken about that, but completely agree. Mark Howard says, we should have had a pen when one of their players had both their arms around Taylor Hare with Bellis at a corner. See, I don't remember that, and I don't remember screaming for a penalty at the time, to be honest with you. I haven't seen it back on the highlights. Some people are saying that on Twitter, so fair enough. But for me, we've got away with one yesterday. Safe Gaming says he needs to get Barnes out of the match day squad. I don't disagree with that. However, I don't like seeing Barnes get some grief. Said it before loads of times. I agree he's past it, but he's a legend. So we won't be slagging him off too much. But he is past it, let's be honest. Simon and Edmondson says there's more backroom staff than I've ever seen before on a team photo or two. But I think we have like set piece coaches and stuff now as well, don't we? Which I don't think we've had for a while. So that's good to see. Neil, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring some fixtures in, and we'll have a look at the fixtures coming up for Burnley before we start wrapping it up in around 5-10 minutes. So the fixtures should be on your screen now if you're watching on YouTube. I'm not sure how well you can see that actually, because it is quite small. So what I'll do is I'll make it bigger. There we go. That should be better. So the next game is Rotherham on Wednesday, 2nd of November. That's good, because I couldn't work out whether it was Tuesday or Wednesday. I kept forgetting. Then it's Sheffield United, which is live on Sky, Saturday 12:30. Then the Cup game against Crawley Town. Then the Bastards. Then it's the World Cup. So then we have a month break until the QPR game, where it's QPR away. So I tell you what, I've just been looking at our fixtures up until the World Cup and then forgetting. But we've got massive games either side of the World Cup. We're playing, obviously, we're first, as everybody knows. We're playing second, the game before the World Cup, and then third, the game after the World Cup. So some massive games coming up. But just thinking about the three games before the World Cup, Neil, because we'll skip over the Crawley one, because obviously it's the League Cup. How many points there? I would genuinely, right now, be happy with... I don't want to be negative, but I'd be happy with five there. I obviously want nine. I'd take two wins as long as we don't get beat by Blackburn. But how many points do you think we can get there, Neil? I think some people will probably think we can get nine.
Yeah, I mean, it's not beyond us to get nine. However, I do think the run of games and the fact that we've not been at our best the last couple, I do think there's a dodgy result coming. Hopefully it's just not against Bastards. I'm going to say seven, because this team find it difficult to know when they're beaten. So I reckon two wins and a draw, but I don't know where they're coming.
Yeah. I mean, I'll take that right now, because that means obviously we're not losing against them.
Yeah.
So I'll happily not lose against them. Rotherham, I mean it with the greatest respect in the world, but we should be beating them, and should be beating them quite comfortably. This could easily get clipped up by Rotherham Page and made me to look a very, very, very big fool by 10 o'clock.
If we are going to lose a match, though, I would pick that one to lose. If we are going to lose one.
Yeah, I agree. I'd rather lose that one. But the most difficult one there for me, I think, is the Sheffield United game, because I stand by the fact that Sheffield United are our closest rivals in this league. They've just gone really off the boil recently because of the amount of injuries. They played very well yesterday, got a good win. So I think they're starting to hit form. Admittedly, it was against a poor West Brom side, but still, I think it was against West Brom. Apologies if that's wrong, but they're starting to get in their stride now. So that's going to be a tough one. I'm going to that one though. So hopefully there's some great content on Turfcast coming up. I'm looking forward to that one. But Blackburn as well. Blackburn, they're weird. Like, I think that we're buzzing because we've won three in a row. They've just won four in a row. But they are beatable. I think they've lost seven games this season, and they've not been playing many good teams recently. I think they played, who did they play yesterday? Hull. Obviously, they're down there. They're playing Coventry on Tuesday. Then they're playing Huddersfield. So, you know, they've not been playing many good teams recently. We're probably the best team well, we're the best team in the league, let's be honest, at the minute. League table doesn't lie. But we're definitely the only decent side that they've faced in the last month. But they're beatable, aren't they? They'll attack us and they'll come at us, and we could very well lose that game because they're obviously a good side. It pains me to say them. They've got a good striker in Diaz. But they are beatable, aren't they? But it's going to be a good game.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be, well, you hope it's going to be open. It's probably a game for Benson to start if he's going to, because they're going to come at us. And I've seen a thing on Twitter of a Hull fan yesterday saying he can't believe how good Blackburn actually are, and you can see why they're in the league. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it'd be a great game, and obviously you're looking forward to it anyway. But it should be a really good game with the two of them. But I've seen another thing on social media that's going around. I can't remember who it is now. I think it is someone who maybe follows Turfcast. But they said, would you lose against them if it guaranteed promotion? And there's been quite a lot of people saying, no, I want to beat them.
I want to beat him. It's I don't know, with the Blackburn game, and obviously we'll discuss the Blackburn game in depth the week of the Blackburn game, or I might just shut the channel down because I can't be arsed. Who knows? We'll see. But I don't know. I feel like the pressure is on us now. Like all them years when they were better than us, now we're better than them and have been for like, what, 10, 15 years now. I feel like the pressure's on us. But so I'm going into this game now nervous rather than excited, whereas I used to go into these games excited as a chance to be able to beat them. Whereas now I just see it as a chance. They see it as a chance for them to beat us. And obviously, if they were shy and bottom of the league, I'd be like, it doesn't really matter. Like I'll go into the game with full of confidence, but they're not. They're a decent side, and I hate saying it.
They've got nothing to lose, have they?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. They've got nothing to lose. If they get beat at Turf Moor, people are like, oh, well, fair enough. Blackburn got beat. But if they come here and beat us, everyone's like, oh, bloody hell, Blackburn beat Burnley. It's massive. It's massive. And I think I was 26 the first time I saw Burnley beat Blackburn. That's no way to be a football fan, is it? Like that long to see your team beat your main rivals. I was there when they beat us 5-0. I was there when they beat us 2-0 at the Turf. Obviously, I was there when Dunn was 50 yards offside and celebrated by jiggling his belly around and stuff like that. So, I wanted to inflict it on them. I want to inflict a 5-0 on them. I'd love to do that because they did it to us. That would be beautiful, but... If anything, it's going to be like 4-3 that game, isn't it?
They'll score. There'll be goals. Watch it be 0-0 in the most boring game we've ever seen now. But yeah, there'll be goals at both ends, I think. And I think it could potentially get a bit feisty. It'll be good. It'll be tense. We'll definitely need a drink.
I know, but it's like 12 o'clock, isn't it? Or whatever it is, the game. So half 12, I can't remember what time it is, to be honest. I don't like playing them. I hate it. I don't look forward to playing them anymore. I just go on nervous.
It's because we've had it so good for so long, and there's been that Twitter account of today Burnley above Blackburn in the league, so we've been giving it the big one for a long time. So there's a lot at stake, really.
I'm not looking forward to it. I'll be a nervous wreck the entire week, let's be honest. I've even booked the day off work after, because if we're beaten, I don't want people going, oh bloody hell, Burnley got beat yesterday by Blackburn, didn't they? Because I don't work with Burnley fans. So if I ever worked in a company full of Burnley fans, we'd all be depressed together and that'd be good. But I work away, so people are like talking.
Not that we want to, but if we lose as well, losing at home is always worse. Like if we went to their place and lost, it's not as bad as losing at Turf.
Yeah, I agree with that. And especially the fact that it's looking like we're going to go into this game having not lost at home all season. So if they then come to the Turf and beat us, just imagine how smug they'll all be. The first team to beat you at the Turf this season.
I wasn't nervous now to talk to you about it.
It helps, doesn't it? Talking helps. Something that will make you less nervous as well is looking at the league table. So we'll bring that in. It should be on your screen now. There we go. Of course, the Claret's top of the league. What I like about the league table at the minute is not just that we're top, but there is a nice little gap opening up to third. 5 points we are away from third now. Of course, QPR have got a game in hand, though. But if you just look at our form, Blackburn fans keep going on about how good their form is because they've won 4 in a row, so fair enough. But if you technically look at the Blackburn form, they've lost a game in their last 5. We haven't lost since, 7 years ago, feels like. So win, 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 draw, win.
And we're the only team without any reds.
Go on.
We're the only team who've got no reds in our form. So
exactly. Exactly. We're the most informed team in the league. We are the best team in the league, or the supposed best team in the league, according to Paul Ince. But nice little gap opening up to third there, Neil. Do you think we can extend that hopefully before the World Cup?
Yeah, you'd hope so. And then, because we're playing the teams in and around us, aren't we? So if we beat Sheffield United and obviously beat them, healthy gap going into the QPR. Because we don't know where they'll be, because obviously they've got that game in hand. But yeah, it'd be a nice health gap. But our goal difference is massive.
That does it. Well, obviously, we're the highest scorers in the league, so that helps. But we've scored 32 goals and only conceded 16. We've conceded. We conceded the joint least in the league. We haven't. Preston have conceded the least with 15. Birmingham have also only conceded 15. I'm not going to bother scrolling down because I doubt anyone below Birmingham will have conceded less than that. But we've only conceded 16, and I don't think... In terms, I like the defence because I like how good they are bringing teams out and how good they are with the ball. But in terms of actual defence, I do sometimes think we struggle in the air and stuff like that. Like yesterday's goal was too easy for them to score. But to say we've only conceded 16, that's a testament to the defence, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, definitely. And if you think some of those, I don't know how many clean sheets we've got, but all those 16, it's sometimes we've conceded two or three in a game. So it's we've gone a run of games without conceding.
We had two clean sheets, didn't we? I think it's three or four now off the top of my head. Obviously, a clean sheet against Norwich.
But Sheffield United against Coventry. Sheffield United, the only team anywhere near us with a goal difference. We've got 16, they've got 12, so they're probably our nearest.
Yeah, fair enough. I agree with that. Like I said, I think they're the best. Not the best team in the league, but our main challenges. We've been on for 45 minutes nearly here now, Neil. I normally like to do about half an hour, so we'll start wrapping it up. But just look ahead to Rotherham quickly. Is it a chance to rest players we've been talking about briefly? It'd be good to see Cork and Cullen back. Would you bring them both back in? Would you rest Jay? What would you do against Rotherham?
It's a tricky one because you want to keep momentum, don't you? Because momentum's obviously with us. And it looks like... The last three, four games, it's clicking and there's something building. So you don't want to disrupt that too much. But equally, yeah, a couple of players do need a rest. I would try and give Jay a rest, although obviously that is going to mean playing Barnes and some people won't be happy about that. And that might just disrupt the whole system because I thought playing Barnes in the first half at Sunderland, partly why we were so poor because the system just wasn't working. It's a chance to rest some, but not too many, I would say. Rest a couple of players, but not wholesale changes. Definitely not.
Yeah, fair enough. So we will start wrapping it up now, everybody. So we want to get some last comments in. Now's your chance to do it before we do end the stream. But for me, I'm thinking Rotherham. I wouldn't start Barnes for obvious reasons. As I said to Saif Gaming earlier, I agree with the fact that he's over the hill. I love the guy. And it will be a sad day still when he leaves because everything is done for us. But I wouldn't be starting him. Not a chance. Mark says, I would rest Jay and play Dervisoglu, not Barnes. I wouldn't even do that. It might be a chance to play Dervisoglu, give him a good chance. I would do what he did in the second half against Sunderland and go tell her the main focal point with Zorora and Benson. I'd give Benson a run out. I think he's earned a run out. But most people are saying Dervisoglu. So it might be a chance to see Dervisoglu. Simon Edmondson says play Dervisoglu instead of Jay. That could be a shout. But yeah, I think that's the way I'd do it. I'd do it slightly differently. I'd bring in Cullen and Cork. I'd bring them two back in. And I would also rest Brownhill. I'd rest Brownhill because he's a card away from a book as a suspension now. So if he gets a booking against Rotherham, he won't play against Sheffield United. But they do reset after that Rotherham game. So you can't get suspended for five yellows now. So even if he gets booked against Sheffield United, he wouldn't be suspended for the Blackman game. So that's what I'd do. I'd rest Jay, I'd rest Brownhill. And I'd bring in Teller and maybe Basti again. Maybe give Basti another run and bring Cullen and back in and Cork, or maybe just keep Corky rested as well. Give him another few days off and maybe try Cullen and Basti, something like that. With Teller up front and Zorora and Benson either side and the rest of it similar. I'll tell you what, actually, Vitinho as well at right back instead of Roberts.
Yeah, play Vitinho. Agree with Brownhill. Is Brownhill, is he 100%? Has he played every game?
I think so. So I might
probably,
be wrong.
It's probably due arrest anyway, isn't it? Because you want him. Yeah. You want him playing against Sheffield United and Rovers. So yeah, maybe I would drop him. Jay does look tired. I do think Jay needs a rest. We'll see what he does. But the three, like you said, the three against Sunderland. That'd be good to see. Definitely.
Yeah. I one of the lads that lives near me. I saw him last night and he's always saying to me, oh, I'm really worried about us if Jay gets an injury. And don't get me wrong, I agree with that. I think he's obviously the only striker that's scoring goals, like the out-and-out striker that is scoring goals for the club at the minute. But I think doing what he did in the second half against Sunderland, it'll be a good way to go, I think, maybe. As I've just said there, Teller the main focal point with two pacey lads on either side of him. So might not be the end of the world if Jay gets injured, but obviously, fingers crossed he doesn't. But we're coming up to a World Cup break now. And then, the games restart on the 11th, and then we're 3 weeks away from the transfer window being open anyway. So hopefully we bring someone in, but I'm going to wrap it up there. Thank you, Neil, for coming on. It's always a pleasure to have you on, Neil. Always some nice, intelligent debate when you're on. And the dogs as well. I know you've got the dogs in with you, and we were expecting them to maybe go off at some point, but they've been.
French bulldogs, mate. They just sleep all day. That's all they do.
I should have got a French bulldog instead of a cockapoo then, mate, because he does the exact opposite, running around mental. You heard him earlier. I don't know if he were if you could hear him on the microphone. I think Neil said he could hear him earlier. But yeah, he's a nut job. He's a nut job. But thanks for coming on, mate. It's been a pleasure. If you're watching on YouTube and you've only joined halfway through, obviously when we finish the stream, it will restart and you can watch it all the way from the beginning. At your leisure, you can pause it, come back, do some washing up, whatever it is you do on your Sunday. Last comment, we'll just quickly read that out. What do you think of Vincent's performance? Well, he didn't play, mate. He didn't play. But no, joking, as a manager, very good. Love him so far. So, Irfan, I'm very, very well. Very, very pleased with company so far. But thank you, everybody, for watching. And again, if you joined halfway through and you need to go out, the podcast will be up literally instantaneously. It'll take me around 5 minutes to get it up and then I will be tweeting it. And of course, as Simon says, like and subscribe. That's where I go wrong on YouTube. I don't beg people to like and subscribe. I just think, well, if they're going to do it, they'll do it anyway. But like the video if you want to like the video. Subscribe if you haven't already. Thank you, everybody, for watching. And I will try and do a pre-game show before Rotherham. I don't know what my work schedule's like this week, to be honest, off the top of my head. So we'll see. But if not, I'll definitely do a 60-second review. And if I don't do a pre-game show for that, I will definitely do one for the Sheffield United game if I can find the Sheffield United fan. But thanks, everybody, for watching. And if you're listening on the podcast, thank you for listening. And we will see you next time.
See you later.
Sports Social Podcast Network.